take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to preach for about 37 minutes and shut it down tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read verses 17 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 21. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And let's read verse 21 together. Ready? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit, help me as I preach your eternal, perfect, holy word. Lord, I know I can't do it justice, but allow the Holy Spirit to do that which I cannot do tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a time where people do not make decisions well at all. People vacillate and can hardly make a decision. We have educated people. Listen to this statement here. We have educated people in America to think critically to the point where people don't know how to make a decision.
Right.
I'm going to make a statement. Critical thinking is man-made, and it's definitely not God-made.
Right.
Critical thinking takes the decision-making process right out of the water. People ask so many opinions that they don't know what to do without looking at an opinion, or in modern day terminology, reviews at the end of a thing on the internet. I wonder how many people look at how many opinions about something, and you don't even know if those are real opinions. Yeah. This week, Mr. Comey came out with his book here recently. Did you know that if you go to Amazon to put a rating on that book, if it's anything under 4, they send you to Amazon direct and won't put it on there, and they'll take you for cybersecurity because you could be a hack? If you read all the reviews on there, it's great. But they're editing who can review it and who can't. Most all your companies do the very same thing. We also have people who can't agree about any decision that's made. I realize we must make the best decisions we can. But too many people fuss, feud, fight, spew, and get upset over simple decisions. Do you know, my wife and I don't argue over what toaster she wants to buy. We don't argue over what color paint. Say why? I'm colorblind. I don't give a flip. We can tell each other everything wrong with each other, but we can't make a decision without fighting. Sound like our world today? You say, preacher, life seems so simple to you. I've heard that statement 5 times in the last 2 weeks. Preacher, you make life seem so simple. Now, my life is quite complex. But life itself, pretty simple. It really is. We have a society that seems to be their own God and have really complicated it. We think expensive means best. How about the best we can afford is best without going in debt? I'm not one to vacillate on opinions. I don't listen to. I don't read reviews. I don't check an awful lot of opinions before I make a decision. I might seek counsel, but I don't listen to everybody's opinion about something. Most of you ought to get rid of 3/4 of what you see on television and 3/4 of what you listen to on the radio, because all it is somebody getting up giving their opinion about something.
Right.
Okay. Mom, close your ears. I've learned in life, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. And it's true. Okay, you can unplug your ears. She gets mad at me for those things. That and my booger one. All right? I've learned that every decision in life is not earth-shattering.
Did you know, before 5 o'clock this morning, I picked out what shirt and tie and suit and shoes I was going to wear today, and it wasn't life-changing for anybody?
I didn't have to read the reviews on the shirt, the tie, the shoes, and the suit to figure out what I was wearing this morning. Did you know what I wear, whether you liked it or not, whether you would have picked a different tie or not, or a different color shirt or not, doesn't matter, and it didn't change anything in the world today.
Right.
Not one thing. What color my bathroom is will not change my life. Doesn't matter if it's yellow, pink, red, white, blue, purple, chartreuse, or all of them put together. It's not going to change my life. Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't go to my bathroom to cheer myself up. There's just a certain amount of things you do there. I'm not in there to sit there and be cheered up. Oh, wow! Yeah! It's just not what it's for. Now, what mower I use to mow my grass will not change your life, and it won't change my life, nor is it going to change anybody else's life. Why does it matter? Well, my mower's better than yours. Probably. But my grass gets mowed just like yours does. I do make life-changing decisions every day of my life. My job requires that I help people with life-changing decisions almost every day of my life. Preaching, counseling, advising is life-changing. Soul winning is life-changing. Treating people biblically with love and respect is life-changing. My walk with God is life-changing. So I make life-changing decisions every day. Now listen to this very carefully. I have very little to no opinion about most things.
Ask my wife. I don't have an opinion about what I eat. I really don't. It does not matter to me.
I do have an opinion that we have a church the way Jesus intended it to be out of this book and this book alone.
That's good.
Now that's life changing. What I ate for lunch was not life changing. Doesn't matter to you what I ate. And honestly, didn't matter to me. It filled my gut. I don't care. Now it was good. And I enjoyed it. But I didn't have to enjoy it to put it in my mouth. Now, I did, praise the Lord. Made it a little bit more enjoyable. You see, how this church is run and what we preach about what book, because this church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's life-changing. I have little to no opinion about speculative things in the Bible. For instance,
I've got very little opinion about prophetic things. Where is the Antichrist going to come from? Two words. The devil. Let me give you a little insight. You won't be here. Who cares? If you're saved, it won't matter. I don't get into the spooky things of the Bible, Will. The symbology and the numerology. Oh, by the way, this week the world's supposed to end, according to the biblical numerologists.
I think it's tomorrow, isn't it? Or Tuesday? And guess what? It won't happen. Now, I don't have an opinion on those things. I do have an opinion. You're saved by grace through faith. That's right and wrong. That's life changing. You don't get to heaven by getting baptized or by being a good person or joining the church. It's by grace through faith. That alone, I have an opinion about that. Elijah here in 1 Kings 18, the man of God, stands before Ahab, the wicked king, and he says something very interesting in verse 21. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions?" You see, Ahab said he believed in Jehovah God, and yet he had 450 false prophets of Baal, and his wife Jezebel had 400 false prophets of the groves. 850 false prophets that he listened to, but yet he also believed in Jehovah God. We have a problem, Houston. Houston's got a bigger problem than that, even.
Yeah.
Either it's God or it's Balaam. That's when Elijah said, "Let's have a challenge." And the loser dies. And that's when the day when Elijah killed 850 false prophets. Remember, they cut themselves and danced and jigged around and had rock concerts and everything else. And Moses or Elijah was mocking them. "Hey, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's getting old and hard of hearing. Maybe he's on vacation. Better cry a little louder." They tried for all day long. Elijah said, "That's it." He rebuilt the altar, put the sacrifice, dug a trench around it and said, "Put 12 barrels of water on top of that thing." Prayed a 63-word prayer. God came down, took the sacrifice, took the rocks, took all the wood on the altar, lapped up all the water, and said, "God is God." Then he took a sword out and killed 850 false prophets. Elijah didn't wiggle when he walked. Now, this is not an opinion. By the way, I'm going to use terms here that you all understand. Elijah was not asking an opinion about what kind of toilet paper to buy. It was about a life-changing decision. It wasn't about what we having for lunch today. It was a life-changing decision. We spend way too much time making and expressing opinions about things that don't matter. Brother Hiles used to say it this way: unsought opinions are usually not wanted and seldom followed. You see, our news media has created an appetite, and our schools have taught that our opinion matters. Can I tell you something? For most of us, our opinion doesn't matter a whole lot anywhere. Even in your own home. Somebody say amen. All right. By the way, this is part of man being his own God. You want your opinion to be more valuable than it really is. You want to be God. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I'll be like God. And if I can't be God to the world, I'll be God where I work. And if I can't be God where I work, I'll be God at my house." Let me just say it this way. Most of the time, my opinion doesn't matter, so I don't spend time forming opinions about things that don't matter. There's probably hours every day you waste forming opinions about things that do not matter. Okay, hang on here. Let me show you what I mean. When I must, I quickly make a decision and don't worry if it's not a high priority decision. It's not a right wrong issue. Did you know I have about half a dozen ties I could wear with this shirt? Did you know any of those six ties would have worked? So I don't worry, did I pick the right tie? Oh, I wonder if I had the right tie. You know, nobody asked me today if I picked the right tie with this shirt. I haven't thought since about 10 till 5 this morning
if I made the right decision or not, Brother Scott. Some of you are saying, no, you didn't. And I don't care. Not your opinion. I didn't, Brother Mike, since I pulled the stupid tie off the tie rack, I haven't thought about it one time all day. I haven't decided to check on my opinion. Everybody doing all right? I make the decision. It wasn't a right or wrong decision. It was, now sometimes when I pick colors out, it's a right-wrong decision and I need my wife's help. But I usually do that in advance. Or I get home from church and she says, honey, I think you got to pick a different tie. Or she very conveniently, after I take it off when I get home, she puts another one there before the evening service, which means I didn't do real well that morning. Now, her opinion matters at that point in time to me. You know, I don't wonder if I should have chosen a different tie. Now, how long will we fuss over our opinions? How long will we take to make a decision? Man, I watch people labor over a decision it takes me about that long to make. Then I watch people make decisions and they go from person to person to person to person for days and weeks afterwards to make sure they made the right decision. Lord have mercy. How often will we fuss over non-important things and never think about the important things? How often do we pay for things we want, and struggle with the bills over what we need? You got the money for what you want, and then you wonder why you can't pay the bills for what you need. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you asked God his opinion about what you're supposed to do? How long halt you between two opinions, yours or God's? How often do we ask everyone if we made the right decision? I don't come to you and say, did I make the right decision? Now, let me give you three or four or five things here. I'm not sure how many I wrote down. I've got three things, but don't put your shoes on yet. I got 21 minutes. Number one, not all decisions in life are black and white, right or wrong. Not all decisions in life are black and white, right, wrong decisions. Now, right and wrong decisions don't have to have an opinion, and it doesn't take any time to make the decision. Always choose right. Yes. It's that simple. When it comes to, do I drink alcohol or do I not, it's a right wrong decision. Don't drink it. Don't get near it. When it comes to, do I hang around with the world or do I hang around with God's people, it's a right wrong decision. You don't have to take time to wonder those things. But let me say it this way. God said in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. But he also says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is where I'm going to separate some of us. The good, acceptable, the better and the best, not the right and wrong. Did you know all of the will of God is good? There's not one part of the will of God that's bad. Now, most of you think if you don't hit perfect will of God, everything else you go to the booger man over. That's not what it is. Okay, everybody listen to this thought for a second here. Now, Brother Mike, when I sight my rifles in for hunting, I like being able to drive tacks. I like hitting the center of the bullseye. You know, if this is the bullseye, I like hitting in the middle of it. And at 100 yards, I know my 243 and my 30-06 both, I'll go to the middle and I go up 1 inch. And at 100 yards, if I'm 1 inch high, at 200 yards, I'm dead on. Because both of those bullets will drop 1 inch at most at 200 yards. Did you know ladies don't get upset with me, but a kill zone on a deer is about About half of that right there. About 14, 18 inches. Did you know that if I'm a half an inch off, it's still a dead critter? There's no X on the bullseye on the side of a deer. I know that if I'm hitting within a quarter inch of that every time, three shots in a row, I'm going to hit what I'm shooting at. I don't have any worries about it at all. If I'm off a half an inch at 250 yards, guess what? It's still a dead critter laying there. Still going to hear that bullet go thwop. Now, wait a minute. We think it's either perfect or nothing. Did you know, parents, that a D is still passing in school? Many of you thank God for that, because that's the only way you got through. Amen. Then why are you so upset with your kids when they get one? Some of you think if it's not an A, it's a failure. Now, there is such a thing as B, C, and D that's still passing. I don't like Ds personally. I think I only ever got one or two as a grade at the end of a marking period in my whole life. Some of you said, yeah, I only got two, and the rest of them were all Fs. I didn't have that problem. I wasn't a straight-A student, but I was a solid B student. But did you know that even on a test, if somebody gets a D, it's still passing? Now, some of you would throw a fit. You'd ground somebody for 6 weeks because they got a D on a test. God bless you. Yeah. You know, I don't fuss over that. It's still passing. Now, if you didn't pass, you got problems. But I learned a long time ago, if they don't pass, they got to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps. Not mommy and daddy's problem. Teach them work a little harder, take a few things away, keep them too busy from doing their work, make sure they get their work done, but they're not going to die because they got a D on a test or a quiz. Okay, I love you. You ready? Here it comes. What I like is not right. Is not a right and wrong issue. I can't expect for everybody to like what I like. I like my steak cooked rare. Amen, Miss Wally. You give me a steak, I like it just above body temperature in the middle. Now, some of you, you're about ready to throw up just thinking about that. And that's all right. Some of you like it that way, some of you don't. Beat it in the head, knock the horns off, take the fur off, put a candle under both sides, and it's ready to throw on the plate. Amen? Just get it past cold. That's all I needed. Now, wait a minute. Some of you think that's repulsive. I like chicken hearts and chicken livers. Glory to God. That's some of the best stuff in the world. I'd rather eat that than the chicken at most time. Now, wait a minute. There's others in here. You're about ready to right now. Now, wait a minute. I like it. It's not a right, wrong issue. Just because I like it doesn't mean you have to like it. I don't expect anybody else to like it. Nobody else at my house eats chicken livers and chicken hearts. I don't have to fight over them then. Man, it's great. My wife, she'll cook them, but I got to take them out of the pan when she's done cooking them because she doesn't even want to do any more than that. She said, will you come get this stuff out of here? Yeah, gladly. You know, just because you like it doesn't mean it's right and wrong issue. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Let people make decisions and opinion contrary to your likes and don't express your disapproval to their likes and dislikes. Men, practice something. Hang on here. Practice something. Ask your wife what she wants and then don't tell her what you want. Quit telling her all the bad things about what she wants is wrong according to you. Men, we're good at that. We see all the things that are wrong with that. Ladies, every once in a while say, honey, what do you want? Let him tell you and go with it. It may not be what you like. But guess what? He doesn't have to know that.
I remember one day one of my kids was complaining about what my wife made. And I said, "Will you just shut up and eat it? I don't care for it either, but eat it anyway." I shouldn't have said that. I don't know how many years my wife had been making that. Kids left. She said, "You don't like that?" I said, "I didn't say that." She said, "That's what you told Jojo." I said, "That's not what I said. I said, it's not my favorite. I don't know what it, I don't even remember what it was. I'm not sure she ever made it again." You say, "How do you know?" Because one of my kids said, "Dad, do you like this?" I said, "Why?" "Well, because last time you said you didn't like something, Mom didn't make it again." See, I learned to ask that question, why, with the kids, amen? Sometimes they're a little sharper than we are. You know, ask your wife what she wants, and don't add your opinion to it. Just let her have it. Not let her have it, but let her have her opinion. All right? I was thinking about how I said that. Yeah. Ask your kids what they want. And as long as they don't pick something that's wrong, let them have it without your opinion being told. Some of us just got to slip our opinion in about everything. Well, it'd be better if you'd want this. Every once in a while, you got to let them learn by getting what they want and find out what they wanted and what they wanted. And by the way, maybe it is what they want. You're playing God by trying to get everyone to accept your opinion. Because you think it's best. Quit playing God. Your opinion isn't the only one in the world. Everybody's got one, just like a nose. Do you get upset over a differing opinion? How many times have you heard me say in preaching, "Let me give you an opinion here, and if you disagree with me, that's okay. It's fine." I have people that disagree with me, and it's fine. Doesn't bother me. It was an opinion. Now, if you think there's another way to get saved other than by grace through faith, you and I are going to fight. Because that's not an opinion. That's a right-wrong issue. Number two, I got to hurry. Make decisions based on principles, not convenience or personal preference. Decisions are supposed to be made on principle, not preference. I cannot ask nor expect anyone to live by my preferences. If I do, I am playing God. Everybody doing okay? I cannot expect my children to live by my preferences. If I do, I'm playing God. I'm supposed to teach them right and wrong and how to make decisions based on principle, not because just because Dad said so. Because there's coming a day when Dad's not there and they got to make decisions. I don't expect my children to like all the foods I like. You say, why? Because they're my preferences, not theirs. They develop their own. Right. Principles are truths from the Bible or experiences that are right most of the time. Folks, if I deal with a problem 100 times, and 98 times out of 100, it happens this way, guess what? I have formed a principle. And 99 or 100 times out of 100, I'm going to tell somebody to do that. Did you know that 98 out of 100 is still an A+? You say, "Well, I might be one of those too." If you think you're the exception, you're not. Right. Don't think you're always the exception to the principle. Just follow the principle. If in the process somebody sees the principle's not working, we'll look to see how closely to the principle you're following, first of all. And then second of all, if we need to readjust, we'll readjust. You see, we often need advice from someone more qualified and more godly than we are. "Well, I don't want to go see the preacher because I already know what he's going to say." Oh, that's your opinion. You don't know that. And if you do, then you know I'm going to answer according to what the Bible says, and I'm not going to give you the answer you want to hear. Ouch. I have people that refuse to come see me because they know I'm going to give them biblical advice.
And they want something that they know I will not answer yes to.
Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen. For instance, my wife has never met her biological dad. I spent 7 years found that rascal. She wanted to find him so we could send a soul winner to get him saved. We did. Sent soul winners out there. He got saved. He was in a distant state. I was going to work it out for them to meet each other. We went and saw Brother Hiles. Sat right in front of his desk. He was sitting there. I sat on this side. My wife sat on this side. We told him what was going on. He just sat there. He looked at my wife, and I said, "What do you think?" He said, "Mrs. Bush, could you go the rest of your life and never see your biological dad?" She said, "I lived this long. Why couldn't I?" He looked at me and said, "Brother Bush, I don't think you're going to understand this, but don't complicate life. Just let it drop." I thought, I just spent 7 years of my life for what? He said, "You're going to complicate life for your children. You're going to complicate life for your in-laws. You're going to complicate life for his family." He said, "You don't understand it. Your folks have been married a long time." I said, "Yes, since Noah got off the ark." And we chuckled about that. She's never met him. She'll meet him in heaven. We're happy. My in-laws are happy. My kids are happy. I followed his advice. Did I understand it at the time? Mm-mm. I walked away scratching my head thinking, what just happened? Whoa, what just happened? But I followed his advice. By the way, I'm glad I did. Principles are usually for right and wrong issues. If there is no principle, it's not a major issue. Did you know there's no principle in the Bible over what brand of potato chips to buy? Did you know there's no principle in the Bible over what toilet paper to buy? Whether one ply, two ply, three ply, or jumbo packs, or whatever. You say, "Preacher, that's kind of ridiculous." No, principles are for right and wrong issues. Life-changing issues. Did you know there's no principle in the Bible, Brother Stoltz, over what color shirt I'm supposed to wear? Now, there are certain color shirts I probably wouldn't wear because that's my preference, but I know people that have worn them, and it doesn't mean that they're wrong. Good night, when we were going to college. Yeah, there was a big war when I went to Bible college. There's some guys wearing pink shirts, and us radicals thought they were sodomites. And there was a big battle. I watched Brother Hiles get up, and every guy that had a pink shirt, he bought it from them so they could go out and buy a shirt. And he didn't outlaw them, but he was trying to keep the war down. And I watched how he handled it. You know, just because a guy wears a pink shirt doesn't mean he's a queer. Now, it's not the color I'm going to wear, but it doesn't mean he's a queer. Now, my wife keeps pushing, you know, "Come on, you'd look, I'm not going to do it." And she's quit pushing after 29 years almost. You know, there's no principle about what color the church walls or carpet are supposed to be. Yeah, they're not going to be hot pink. Yeah. That much I promise you. My secretary's office, that's fine, but mine, mm-mm. You know, there's no principle in the Bible about what light bulbs you need at home or church. You say, "Well, these will be better." Well, they might be for you, but it doesn't mean it's right and wrong. Okay? Now, you say, "Well, this will be more..." You can go through all of your opinions about it, but it doesn't change the fact it's not a right-wrong issue. Remember that good, acceptable, and perfect? It's not right-wrong. It's okay. Number three. We look too much at man's opinion and don't look enough at God's opinion. How long halt you between two opinions? Yours or God's? We expect God to bail us out when we've disobeyed. And never once did we seek the Bible about his opinion before we messed up. And after we mess up, we get mad because he didn't bail us out when we thought we should be bailed out. Now, your opinion differs with God. Guess what? Who's right, him or you? Man has his own opinion about religion. God set forth exactly what he wanted for his church. You look at most churches. Well, this is the modern age. Those kind of people scare me. I already have my antennas up going ding, 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 ding. Be careful. Be careful. We should not look at other ways or Christian organizations to run the church. How about we look to the Bible? Well, I know this church, and it's a bigger church, and they're doing, just because it's bigger doesn't mean it's better.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? Do you spend time in your Bible and prayer and seeking godly counsel about what God wants, not telling God what you want instead? Ask God for what he wants us to have, not what you want to have. Now, you have the right to say, God, I'd like to have this. Here's how I do it. God, I'd like to have it if that's what you want me to have. But if not, I'd rather have what you want me to have. Did you know sometimes God has better things available to you, but you limit yourself? Everybody doing all right? I gotta hurry. You need to realize that God knows more about every part of life than you do. Did you know he made everything? God made the universe. He made the sun, the moon, the stars. He made the earth. He made everything in the earth. He made life itself. He made everything that was in the earth. Did you know he taught man how to mine and get the steel and the carbon and everything we need in everything from the earth that we needed? He taught us about the nutrition of the earth. He taught us about biology. He taught us about the water cycle. He taught us about the wind circuits. He taught us how to predict the weather. He taught us how to have direction based upon the stars and going around the sun and going around the universe and how everything was put into place. Did you know the names of the stars haven't changed since Genesis chapter 1? We didn't evolve. Did you know that people didn't just all of a sudden decide, wow, you could eat this mushroom, but this mushroom will kill you? No, God taught man. God taught man in the Garden of Eden what was good and what was not good. Taught man how to do things. Did you know they had steel and brass? People in Bible days didn't just live in a rock house. It wasn't the Flintstones, folks. They didn't have stone tools. They had hammers of steel. You don't beat gold with stones. And where did the gold come from, pray tell you? They had to find it. God taught them how to find it. Same thing with steel and the metals and the brass and the copper and all those things. Where did it all come from? It just didn't appear. Shazam, there it is. You know, we need to learn to trust God in what God says over our own selfish opinions. Amen. Now, I have to shut it down. We vacillate between opinions way too much. We fight over opinions way too much. I like my coffee about as strong as you can stand it, and black, nothing in it. My wife likes all the creams and the sugars and the flavors and caramels and walnuts and hazelnuts and all the other nuts and coconut and gag. If you're going to drink coffee, why corrupt the holy bean?
Amen.
Just don't get it. Now, wait a minute. She can have it. I'm for it. As long as she drinks it and I don't have to put it in my mouth. It's not a bad right-wrong issue. I just don't want to drink it that way. She doesn't like it as strong as I do. Good night. If you can see the bottom of the cup, it's too weak. If you can see the side of the cup, it's too weak. If when you pour it this way and it's not still stuck to the side of the cup, it's too weak. I like it strong. We're down to Josh's wedding and they had that Cuban coffee. You all know what Cuban coffee is?
Uh-huh.
It's about, they serve it in little, it's not a Dixie cup, but it's almost like a shot glass. Because if you put it in the Dixie cup, it'll eat the paper. It's real thick, almost syrupy. Amen, Brother Joe? we were down there. They said, come on, preacher, see if you can drink real coffee. And they handed me that. And I said, can I have another one of those? They were like, I said, that's good stuff. I like espresso straight. Now, I can't do much of that because it really affects me. Too much caffeine, amen? I had two of those Cuban coffees before Josh's wedding. I could have preached three sermons in 10 minutes. It was good stuff. Just because I like that and you don't doesn't mean you're wrong and I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. We form opinions way too much. Do you know what the news does? Tries to help you form an opinion about something that you have no control over. You watch way too much news that's way too depressing. Most of it isn't even true. It's amazing how many people they have tried and accused that have only had a charge brought against them, and everybody thinks they're guilty before they have even been tried for anything. We generally have strong opinions about things that matter so little. Let's learn to make good decisions and not form opinions about non-important things. Once you make a decision, stick with it and quit questioning it.
Amen.
Well, I wonder if I should have done this. Well, guess what? Too late, you did it. I have people come to me, they'll get my advice, and then they go start asking everybody if that's what they should do. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to tell you if I don't think it's the right thing to do based on that book right there.
Amen.
It's that simple. That's been going on with me for 30 years. Trust me, I'm used to it. I just sit back and enjoy the show. And then they come back, preacher, did you know I did this and it worked? No. Then I have them that didn't take my advice. They come back and say, preacher, did you know that didn't work? No, you're kidding. What did I tell you? Well, yeah. Let's quit worrying about our opinions. Let's make good decisions based on that. Most of the time, our opinion doesn't matter anyway. You'll be a happier person. Quit forming so many opinions. Do you know I don't make decisions based on court issues that are coming up in the news? Is so-and-so guilty? Guess what? You don't know. Well, I watched all the news reports and I know it. You really believe those yardbirds? Those are the people you complain about.
Right.
And you think you know all the facts?
That's right.
I don't make decisions. I wait for a jury trial, then I'll tell you whether he's guilty or innocent. Well, I know he's guilty. How do you know? Based on liars?
Right.
You've formed an opinion about something you have no idea what all the facts are. Why are you so frustrated about it? I don't get all frustrated about it. It's real simple. How long halt you between two opinions? Every head bowed, every eye closed.